I want to welcome all of you to our Monday night Meet the Diamonds call. Again, my name is Dave Stolzfus, Nikan Royal Diamond. And for those of you who just joined us 30 minutes prior to this call, we do a Nikan preview call every Monday evening, starting at 7:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, simply to introduce Nikan to new people. It's the same number, the same pin as this call is. If you bring your guests on and they like what they hear, they can just stay on. They don't have to drop off and come dial back in. They can just stay on, and I hope you have some guests on tonight. I really want to welcome not our only our special guest tonight, but also a close friend of mine, Rick Murphy. I've been really looking forward to this call for quite some time, and Rick has been extremely instrumental in not only in building his own organization, but giving Nikan leaders in the field a lot of direction on how to build the Nikan business. And I can't tell you, and I've told Rick this many times, I'm very appreciative of his leadership in the last couple of years. So good evening, Rick. It's great to have you on the call tonight.
Sure, it is my pleasure. Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure, and I'm awfully tickled to join you and your terrific team.
Oh, thank you, Rick. And, you know, I've learned, and I used to introduce the guests formally, but I've learned that guests do a better job in introducing themselves than what I do. So, Rick, if you would, take a little bit of time and tell us about yourself before Nikan.
Sure. Basically, I'm not going to tell you where I grew up in a little town just to be obtuse. You know, I was a simple boy, but my family owned a Ben Franklin store that my grandfather and my grandfather had in a very little town in western Illinois. And it was my family's life from the time I was about probably 8 or 9. It was my job to ride the school bus from the little school to the middle school. And I had to get off and sweep everything and empty the trash. And that was just what we did in our family. My dad worked 6 days a week, as you often do in retail, and Sunday he would have to go in at night and get ready for Monday. My grandfather the same way. My grandfather and dad were the kind of men that worked hard, and that's how we knew that they loved us. Our employees meant everything to us. They were like family, and that was where I grew up. We never had a lot. We always just had enough, and I didn't really know what a lot was until I was older, but at the time it seemed like we had a lot of things, and something happened that changed my life. When I was about 14 years old, a Walmart moved in on the corner of town. And my family lost everything that we had built for our entire life, and I watched them come and tow a car away from in front of our house. My father, who's a Vietnam veteran and a Marine and very big man, I've never seen him shed a tear. And I remember when he had to sit all of our employees down and told them they no longer have a job, I saw that that was the case. So two things happened to me when I was young. One, I realized, and I was brought up, that I was never an employee. Our family and I was always, you know, had a dream. I always knew that I would be my own boss or be the boss. I never had the mentality, Dave, that I was going to be somebody's employee and make them rich. And having
it wasn't in your blood, was it?
No, and you know, it's funny because it's not that I had anything against it. It's just in my mind, I always would do something or own something. But something interesting happened when Walmart moved in. My dad took a job with a company. And the last 2 years I was in high school, my dad worked a long way away. And when it came time for me to go to college, there was no college fund. So I ended up going in the military. I ended up being in 1988. And I got out not long after Desert Storm, which actually ended 16 years ago tomorrow, as a matter of fact, which is kind of a weird thing. At least that part did. I ended up being there for a long time afterwards. Where I broke my ankle very badly, and I looked down, and my toes were pointed almost backwards. And they, make a very long, boring story short, got an early out, showed up in Michigan with everything I owned in my car, where my parents had moved, to figure out what I was going to do next. And I went down to a college, and there was a man there that was actually the same unit I was in Vietnam, only I didn't know it. He saw me standing out there, and the only clothes I had, which was a uniform, because when I was deployed to the Gulf, I didn't have time to pack my room. We left on an emergency deployment, and I came back, and somebody had helped themselves to all my stuff. So I came home, and all I had was uniform.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and I went down to the college, and because my mother said, you ought to go check out the school, I was very lost. Anybody here that's ever come back from overseas, I was pretty lost. And I didn't know what to do, and I wanted to get better, maybe go back in the Army, because that's the only world that I knew. I missed my friends. It was hard. Man walked out and he said to me, he said, young sergeant, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm just figuring out what I'm going to do. This was about a week before classes started. And, you know, every class is full, especially at the freshman level. Well, this man said, son, I was in your same unit in Vietnam. He says, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. You need to do something right now, because if you don't, you could be in for real trouble coming back from a war zone. And I said, well, you know, I would like to go to college. He said, well, you know what? You're going to go to college. He pulled out an application. He stamped it approved. He walked me around, got me into every one of the classes, even though they were full. This was a week before school started. And he asked me what major I wanted to be. I looked down the sheet, and it said software engineering was the highest degree, the highest paying job I could get without having to get a master's degree, which I wanted no part of being in college for very long. And basically, to make a very long story short, that is how I went to college. Turns out this man was the dean of admissions. It changed my life. And while I don't use my degree in the direct sense now, much of what I do a lot of training and a lot of infrastructure around the world for my team. It comes in awfully handy to have that background. So the Lord works in mysterious ways. I always thought I wasted my college degree now that I'm in NECAN, but turns out I didn't. So never take knowledge that you get, and never think that any knowledge you get doesn't make you better, first of all. After college, I graduated in 30 months. I went out, because, you know, and the funny thing is, I didn't like computers, I didn't like engineering, but coming from the Army, I was already used to not liking what I do. So it was a discipline thing, and I got out, and within 4.5 years, I was an assistant director of a $20 billion company in the IT department in charge of an SAP implementation, which meant 70 hours a week, 6 days a week, wearing a beeper, making a six-figure income, and I got to tell you, it was the most depressed I've ever been in my life. Horrible, because I realized that I literally had no life. Worse than that, Dave, is the people above me that I was supposed to, quote-unquote, try to be, and to be quite frank, I usually was a little faster than them, so I would be taking their jobs. Was the people above me worked 80 hours a week, and the people above them worked 85 hours a week.
Well, you had something to look forward to, didn't you?
Even if I win, I lose.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, and for those of you out there in corporate America, look, my family was always white collar with a blue tint. We never made more than $20,000 or $30,000 a year, and then we owned a store. You know, so I grew up, even when I worked at my Chrysler and stuff, I ate lunch with the fellas that worked out on the line. So when I drop all these six-figure numbers, don't think I'm some snob. I mean, I've hot tarred roofs and flopped hogs and detasseled corn and baled hay. But when I got out there, Dave, the thing I found was the more money I started making, the farther I go past $100,000 a year, the less secure my job is, because I'm the biggest cost to cut. I got very depressed about it because I realized I'd made a grievous error in my career, and I didn't know what I was going to do. So I actually got into politics. And I started running a Senate campaign in the state of Michigan. Thought I would go to Washington with this woman that was running a campaign. And boy, I want to tell you, if you ever want to get disenchanted going to politics, because I saw all the fundraising stuff. And to make a really long story short, I was pretty down because I didn't know what I wanted to do. When I was in the Army, it was something I could believe in. I believed in my friends. It was a place of honor. What I did mattered. In corporate America, there was no honor. In politics, there certainly wasn't anybody that really cared about anybody. And I was at a point in my life when I pretty much was the, you know, is this it? Is this what I'm going to do? And it was a real changing point in my life because, interestingly enough, when I least expected it, that's when NECAN walked in the door. I was very busy with my current job and transitioning into running this political campaign, and a relative of mine gave me a Dennis Williams Williams Wellness Preview. Dave, remember the old hour and 40-minute one, Dave, back in the day?
Oh, do I ever.
Well, it sat on my desk for almost a month, and I made fun of it, said I didn't want to watch it. I remember thinking, oh, Japan, network marketing, and magnets, three of my favorite topics. I'll get right on that. And I blew it off. And finally, I was trying to think of this the other day. Why in the world did I finally put that thing in? And as I recall, well, first, I had 28 contractors that worked for me in addition to my full-time people. And if you worked at the company I worked at, it was like the good job in town. Everybody wanted to work there. And we were paying them overtime. The difference in IT, Dave, as you probably know, if you're in-house, you work 70 hours without overtime. If you contract, you work 70 and at least get paid. So they told me you have to hire all these people, and when the project's over, you have to fire them all. to save the overtime. And I went home one night after work, and I had the old Army, I had 4 foot tall speakers in my, I still remember my old Army speakers with my stereo. I put in Dennis Williams, and I just remember hearing something real simple. Here's a big company I don't know anything about, been around for a while, so they're a solid outfit, stuff I've never seen, and I know about it pretty much first. And for some reason, I don't know what it was, I just got it in my beady little head that this is what I'm going to do, not what I'm going to try, not what I'm going to sign up, and hopefully if somebody else likes it, I'll build it. Not, well, I'll give this a try, and if it works out, I'll do it. I really, to this day, don't know why it felt right, but maybe it felt right because it just was for me. I felt like somebody had created something for me. I'd never network marketed. I thought I would never network market. I have been approached by every home business, and I got the tapes under the windshield and the You Can Be a Winner speeches. And, you know, I'm from Grand Rapids, which is the home of the Big A, which tells you everything you need to know about how much I probably was open to network marketing. Excel was on the rampage back then, and I went to one meeting, and everybody clapped all the time for the one guy that drove a BMW 3 Series, talking like he's the rich guy. And I just remember thinking it just seemed cheesy. So I was a little bit puzzled that it was network marketing. But I liked it anyway. And Dave, I wish I knew why I was open to it. I just was. Because I remember, you remember on that video how Dennis showed the airport with the Nikon symbols and stuff? I think for whatever reason, it just seemed like a really neat thing.
You know, Rick, it goes back to trying to keep something so complicated that we have to keep it so simple. Because that tape was made early in Dennis's career when he did not have one-tenth the knowledge he has today.
No, and it was really big. This seems like it helps people because I saw some amazing testimonials. That's something I could believe in. It seems like something that's been around that I don't know about. I mean, I can't name a lot of Japanese companies that come over here and fail. The other thing that was interesting when I saw, this is the last little part. So there was in Detroit, the Motor City Magnets Expo, and with Larry Proffitt speaking, and I drove from Grand Rapids to Detroit, and I had intended on just checking it out and then cutting out, because I didn't really know the benefit of being somewhere all day to an event. Like Martha's getting ready to have this event, which I feel very blessed to be a part of. Some of you listening to this call don't realize the value of events, because in your other jobs you do, you don't have events. You're not going to the event because your upline wants you there. You're going to the event because the information you need to retire your family is there.
Yeah, and Rick, just address for a few seconds why it's important they fill up their car with prospects to go.
Well, like we're going to give a great show, and we're going to teach you lots of stuff, and we're going to motivate you big time, and it's going to impact your life. If you go with people, you'll make money. If you go yourself, you'll make money when you go home and do what you should have done yesterday. I mean, simple. Every opportunity we do in this business, you're not buying a movie ticket to the expo. And this is something else. I don't build a downline full of downlines. I build a downline full of uplines. It's my job when I build my business, and it's yours, whoever's listening, to build and develop your own group. Calls like this, events like what's being put on out there, are tools to help you build your group. Don't have the mindset that you're in my group or Dave's group or Dennis's group or Martha's group. Have the mindset that I'm in my own group and I work with my upline because they want to help me build it too. I mean, of course you're in whoever's group you're in. But be an upline and realize that if you go to the event like you're someone's downline, you're going to go there and not make a profit. If you go there with the mentality that I'm an upline and you go with a full car, then you've got a tool to build your dreams. And that's, I don't know if that's too esoteric, Dave. I hope that answered the question.
Oh, absolutely, because it's so important. You know, I've said many times that when you go to a meeting, you learn the business. Nikan doesn't pay you a dime for what you know. And when you take someone with you, you're building the business. You know,
that's,
and I believe this so strongly that to the simplicity of it, and I don't encourage people to stay ignorant, but you don't have to know an awful lot about Nikan or even about network marketing as long as you have a heart to take a few people to meetings.
Yes. You know, my first preview.
You know, you get paid on not so much what you do. You get paid on the people who you've taken to meetings to and what they're doing.
Did you know, Dave, I ordered every product we have without ever seeing one?
Wow.
I went to the Motor City Magnets Expo, and Larry Proffitt was the speaker. You'll get a kick out of this, Dave. I met him in the hallway that morning, and I said, oh, I'm only here for the morning session. I'm going to go watch the Red Wings game. here in a few minutes. I'm just going to stay for the morning. I had tickets to a hockey game. And he said, oh, that's neat. Well, lo and behold, guess who they introduced as the corporate vice president 20 minutes later?
Wow, Larry Profit.
Yeah, it was. And they didn't have a lot of products there, as I recall. Now, I'm trying to remember back, but I didn't touch anything, certainly. I went home. I called Denny and Char, and I said, what do I need to build? They said, order a career pack and a demo pack. I said, fine. What I saw it cost, a couple grand to build a business. And by the way, I'm not saying it cost that. I'm saying get every product because I wanted to build it right. If I'm going to share this business with people, I need to, number one, use them. And I didn't need to be trained to do this. I just figured it. If I'm going to advocate something, I'm going to use it. And I had just got done spending, gee whiz, Dave, $6,000 every semester on college,
mm-hmm.
which gave me a work permit to go out and earn, $30,000 a year my first year.
To help someone else make $3 million.
Sure. And so when I heard it cost, and the other thing was the money that I spent on the products was not money that I had to have like on some gadget that sits in the garage, but it was actual product that I could get healthy with because I have Gulf War Syndrome, which I won't even bore you with that long story unless you want to hear it. And I thought, well, and I do competitive bodybuilding too.
Mm-hmm.
At the time I was competing, and I thought these products looked kind of neat, to be honest with you,
mm-hmm.
more than anything else. But what I really never thought that it was expensive to start this. In fact, I kind of laughed. I remember my dad put shelves in the store and spent like $30,000, 25 years ago for some shelving.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nothing. I got the whole career pack demo pack. I was sweating it too because I had a preview that weekend and my stuff wasn't there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I put everything on the kitchen table and I'm not very organized when it comes to stuff like that. I played the Dennis Williams video. So those of you that are listening, if you think you need to give a preview, I've made it to this, and I've been retired for some time now in this business like Dave.
Mm-hmm.
My first preview, I put things on a table. I played a video. We have a whole bunch of them now, too. And I told my friends that were there, I'm going to do this business. Wasn't that video great? If you want to see the products, apparently all those make you healthy.
Mm. Wow.
And then we fooled around with the products until everybody figured them out. And,
mm-hmm.
and I remember rolling the Magboy on people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know what it did.
Yeah, right.
And it was that easy.
Yeah.
And from there, I can tell the rest of the story in a minute, but that's how I got started. It was not a terribly auspicious beginning.
Yeah. Rick, I want to go back to, you met this man when you set foot on the college campus.
Yep.
You met this man, and I know you have tons and tons of success stories in your own organization. Rick, do you ever feel like the man who gave you a chance when you're sponsoring somebody and then working with somebody and helping them develop? And I mean, do you ever feel like that man that gave you a chance, are that man?
Yeah, and I've got to tell you, I didn't realize the significance of what he did for me for probably a decade. In fact, I was talking to Paige about it one time, maybe a year ago, when it dawned on me the magnitude of what he did for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love this business, and I'll tell you guys, I watch people get really healthy,
mm-hmm.
and that's really neat. But a doctor can do that in different ways. I'm not talking with the wellness.
Right, exactly.
A massage therapist can make someone feel good. What I like is it's like when you walk up to people, it's giving them the breath of a chance. All of you guys listening to this call have your life. If you're a such and such and you're 50, you're in a straitjacket because you're too far along to change, usually, in the traditional work world, and you have your current bill structure. If you didn't go to college, if you didn't make choices that would set you and your family free, and 20 years later, in normal circumstances, you're stuck. When Niken comes in, it makes all things new. Dr. Naidu is going to talk about the moment you're born, lactoferrin is there, you're only one cell. The minute somebody fills out that application, You're a brand new life form where everything is possible and whatever you want to be, whoever you want to be, because Niken doesn't ask you, what did you do before you came to Niken? Niken judges you on what you do today. And I get to give that opportunity to people. And most people out there are part of either what's wrong or they're indifferent, which is by proxy the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
In Niken, we talk about changing the world and stuff. I tell you, I saw a girl this weekend use some of our products, and it's a lengthy story, but she has a baby in her arms, and she said, I would have died if it wasn't for these products, and this baby wouldn't have made it either. And about an hour later, she's talking to me about going silver and having a retirement. And guys, I got to tell you, if you know another company that can do that for people, let me know about it. I mean, this is a pure thing. I can take care of my people. I know when I sponsor somebody that it's an equal chance for them to become as unequal as possible, which is what Thomas Jefferson said he wanted for America in the first place. And it's a pure thing to me. I feel good when I do this. I get paid a lot of money, but, you know, guys, I tell you, that's probably my least favorite thing about it, even though I'm not motivated by having billions because I like to watch football and hang out with my family.
Right.
If I was Bill Gates, I'd just have farther to walk to the restroom.
Right.
I mean, I would do the same stuff, Dave, as I'm sure you're that way, too.
Right.
Now, let me tell you this. The older I get and the more stuff I have, I do kind of enjoy it. I'm kind of tickled when I go to an expo now, Dave. I can spend 5 days at the beach with my wife and then do an expo for 2 days.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's nice that she drives a Mercedes, and let it be a tax write-off, right? It is, and it's nice that she drives a Mercedes now, and I've got an 08 Tahoe, and those are things that when I was a kid, other people had in town.
Yeah.
You know, the judge. In my town, it was like the judge and the lawyers and the doctors had the big houses, and all the rest of us drove around in our little cars, and you'd say, well, look at their big house.
Yeah.
That's how I grew up.
Exactly. Rick, you mentioned, and you singled out 50-year-olds. Basically, you were mentioning 79 million baby boomers out there in that age. What does it feel like? What do they call your generation?
We're Gen X, I think, and then
Gen
there's
X,
Y,
okay.
And then there's something else.
Okay. What does it feel like being a part of the younger generation to bring some hope to an older generation?
You know what's interesting about that? I've actually thought about that. When I go speak and I'm like 35, 36, 37, and most of my team, if you look on the things that I do, are much older. I mean, Terry's about the same age I am. And,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes I actually think about that a lot, that it's kind of ironic. You know,
I mean, it should be the older generation leading the younger generation, right?
You know,
but
it should
the other way around.
It should be. And, well, you know what they say about that? Alexander was 21, and the good Lord was, what, 33?
Right.
And I think that knowledge and wisdom let me tell you this. I was in Korea one time, and there was a fellow driving me around on a bus, and he probably had a third-grade education. He just knew about Korea. So I'm not necessarily that bright. and he wasn't that bright, but
yeah.
I just quote-unquote know about Korea.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Right, I hear you.
So maybe that's the best way to look at it. I just know what I know,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like a lighthouse sending out information to all those who have hearing, all those who want to hear. There is a place with something better than working yourself to death and taking prescription medications and having no hope.
Mm-hmm.
There is somewhere better if you choose to reach out and look for it.
Right. Rick, I heard you mention, and I know you well enough, and I know how much time you spend with your family, Rick. As busy a person as you are, you find the time. Hanging out with your family, you know, that's the phrase you use, hanging out with your family. You mentioned a couple of times as we were talking. And how do you work this business in with your family time?
That's awesome. Well, number one, it's awesome because my wife and I do most things together now. In the last 2 months, we've been to California twice. We took a whole day and drove down the Pacific Coast Highway, did the event. We went to Chicago. We just got back from Padre. We went to California a second time, and we went to Michigan, and we went to Chicago. I don't know if I said they're not. That's just in the past 3 months because
mm-hmm.
we have groups there. Also, I'm blessed to have a beautiful son, and one of the challenges of that is I have him half the time because the way my life is structured right now. I have spring break coming up in about a week. I've got him for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I can promise you I will do a few calls here and there,
mm-hmm.
but that is completely for my wife and my son.
Mm-hmm.
I have the ability to be busy in bursts, to be busy when I choose to be busy. And when I choose to spend time with my family and when there's things I need to do, that is what I do. Now, by the way, when I was new in the business, I was less balanced for a year or two to get in this position where I have choices. But, Dave, I can tell you right now, if I wanted to take 6 months off, I could do that and be able to pay my bills at this point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because you have phenomenal residual, and you know control of your time equals freedom.
And I had to learn that, by the way. It's been interesting because I'm kind of I use the word workaholic because I love this so much, I never feel like I'm workaholicking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you work for yourself, one of the things that's interesting for those of you listening out there is be aware that when you work for yourself, you also need to be aware of what you're doing. And so in the beginning of the business, you know, I had less control over my schedule than I do now. And you earn that privilege to be completely balanced. Like, I know, Dave, you take time. When you want to do something, you just go do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. I did it for a year and a half.
Well, you know, you did. And it's nice to be able to say I'm going to work or I'm not going to work and have that option.
Absolutely.
And when I work hard. And when I play hard. And when I do nothing hard.
Yes. No, I hear you. Rick, I want you to, you don't have to take a lot of time to do this, but we have a lot of people on this call tonight who sometimes in the beginning they struggle a little bit. Not that the business is hard, but they struggle a little bit. I know you went through a phase of that. Rick, there's no better person in NECAN that can teach how to overcome that and what to look for when a person first comes in. Share a little bit your experience when you first came in, and then there was a time when you really had to take a second look at NECAN, and you came back wiser and stronger, and tell us what you were learning during that time.
Sure. I went through a very my beginning of the business, my first nine checks, I left my job and went in NECAN full-time. I didn't really know what I was doing. I wasn't the best listener in the world, let's put it that way. That's one of my things I've been accused of. And my first nine checks were not, my first nine checks combined were less than $1,000. Now we can make that in a day.
Okay. So your first 9 months?
Yeah, my first nine checks, and that was leaving a six-figure job, were combined less than $1,000.
Wow.
So anybody out there that's listening to this, if you think you're worse at this than me, I'll take the Pepsi Challenge any day with my first 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
I was the all-time worst NECAN distributor. I gave biology seminars all the time on how Hale's Law works and all this stuff with the magnets.
Yeah.
I remember somebody telling me one time how bad my presentation was and me just popping my cork when it turns out they were right.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody sat down with me, Dave, and said, look at the comp plan. They said, six people committed to going platinum, you're a Royal Diamond. And everything changed. I quit doing biology seminars. I started building a business, telling people I'm looking for business partners.
Mm-hmm.
That was a turning point for me. So in the beginning of the business, I just had this really big dream that I was going to build this. And see, the thing that fueled that dream was it was the best way I'd ever seen to be free. And I can't tell you guys enough, get focused on that dream when you're looking at this and who do you want to be and where you want to go. That instant gratification of building this. And look, we got people in the business making thousands of bucks their first month or two now. So I don't want you to think that you make money slowly in this, not by any stretch of the imagination, but be smart. You went to college for 4 years to go get out and make $35,000. You can build this for 6 months to start making $3,000 or $4,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Be smart, guys. It's not net miracle marketing. Okay? Now, the second time in my life, you know, most of my problems have always been self-induced. If it wasn't for me, I'd have a lot easier life. And I got to tell you, and I went through, I've even to this day, even saying the word bothers me because it's not even something I believe in, and it's me. I went through a divorce. And I let myself down in so many ways, and it was very hard on me. And I learned a lot about that because there were times that I felt like I was just going to pack it in and not move on. And I looked at my little boy, and I was fortunate enough to meet my amazing wife. And I decided, you know what? This is not who I am. This is not the kind of life that I choose to live. And I'm going to pull myself up and get this thing built. I went from having a pretty good-sized house and a Cadillac STS to a Ford Ranger truck. One-bedroom apartment with the only thing I owned was a chair and a bed. And my little boy would come over to that house. The first time my mother came to visit me, she started crying in the apartment. That tells you how good a shape I was in. And, you know, I actually sat down to type a resume because I thought, who'd ever want to join somebody like me that went through a divorce? Because it was just really hard, and I just felt really bad about myself. And I sat down to write a resume. And I started, and I felt like I was cheating myself. I felt like I literally was betraying myself. And I actually, on the same page, I don't know if I ever told you this, Dave, that I started writing my resume. The next thing I wrote was the training program that I wrote. The next words were that word at the top of the page.
Well, Rick, okay, I don't want you to rush through this because I'm trying to. Find out what you're saying here. You wrote your resume.
Yes.
In this one-bedroom apartment.
Yes.
Or this one-room apartment that you had. And so you were seeing some things on your resume that were much better than what you were experiencing? Is that what you're telling me?
No, in terms of, because I thought, I didn't know if I could stay in NECANN because I thought I had blown it.
Okay.
Because a lot of people that I'd worked with, you know, when you go through something like that, and at least half the people in your call either have or will.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our friends were in the business, and you can imagine how that goes afterwards. It was just really hard on me. It was hard to work with a lot of those people. And I sat down and said, well, maybe my easier route is not even to try to make a comeback, but just to go and do something else, which is what people do. They make a decision, I'm going to do something else.
Hmm.
And I started writing it, and I thought, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done.
Hmm.
I love NECANN. It's my business. This is what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. I love it. And by the way, here's how dumb I was at that point. I was still making enough money, even through the worst times, that I didn't have to find other employment, and my check was split in half.
Oh, my goodness.
And I still was that blind. You know, when you go through a hard time, sometimes you don't think the best?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. And so I sat down to write a resume, and then I deleted it. All I typed was, I typed objective. You know, when you get down there, you do that objective thing?
Yeah, right.
And I deleted it, and the next word I wrote was the name of our training program.
Wow. Which is Pathfinders, right?
Yes, and I didn't want to say that without your approval, but yeah, that's what it was. And it was on the same page that my resume was started on, which I always kind of laugh about to this day.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible. I don't know where this time is going, Rick. We're going to have you back on here because I got tons more questions. You say things, and I write them down, and I says, I got to ask him about that.
Well, you're one of my heroes. I've robbed you blind, so you can just go look through your notes. You'll find what I'm saying in there somewhere.
Okay, now out of that came Pathfinders. Now, you were talking earlier about this discipline thing and why it's so important to be disciplined, why it's so important to have structure in your business and things like this.
Yes.
There's no training program that has ever been introduced in the field that is more structured, more disciplined, more organized than the Pathfinders program. And literally, NECANN owes you so much of their life, Rick, for the last number of years because you did come up with that. Speak to us a little bit now. Let's talk a little bit about the building of the business process and why it's so important to look at structure and why it's so important to look at the discipline when people are looking at this as a business. It's not just dreams and visions, although that's where it begins, but it's like you said, it's not net miracle kind of thing. It's network kind of marketing. Address that a little bit. Why a program like Pathfinders?
Well, basically, because if you look at the compensation plan, all the keys are in it. To get to gold, you need 3 silvers, and silver, 3 golds, and all the way up. So it's very visible what you need to do. So your job is not only to get to silver, but to teach other people how to get there. That's the brick of the business, the building block.
Mm-hmm.
So what I wanted to do was, it's hard. Look, I need to be able to teach people how to get there and get there myself. And I'm saying this, and I'm trying to figure out the most concise way to say it. Is if you look at the compensation plan, it's evident that your job is to teach people how to get where you currently are.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So really all the program is, and if you look at it now, it's all built on the rhythm of NECANN, the 90-day planner. It's completely using the NECANN infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And the infrastructure is the comp plan, because the comp plan is going silver and then helping other people get there as quickly and concisely as possible. So when you're looking at your business, whether it's making contacts, whether it's, you know, follow up, whether it is what events you're going to go to or what goals you want to have, you'll never get those things done or have a way to. We'll put it this way: if you went to school and there were no textbooks, if you went, anything you do, there's got to be a guideline for it. The rules of business apply here. So pretty much, Dave, it's no different than any other business in the world, is that we simply have a very simple way to get where you're going and then be able to teach other people how to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all. As simple as it is, just boil it down. It's getting there yourself. And then teaching other people how to get there as easily as possible.
Well, I think one of the things you have done so well is that hidden within your training is people understand what they did to make silver. Because many times someone makes silver, they have no idea what they did. So how can they ever teach it?
Well, you know, when the Roman Empire fell, they didn't have running water again for how many 1,000 years, 1,500 years?
Mm.
Not because we couldn't do it, but because they forgot to tell other people how. And so the bottom line is it seemed to me pretty early on, and Dave, a lot of your stuff, I have to tell you, a good chunk of what the Pathfinders program became came from your material. In fact, a tremendous portion of it.
Yeah, but what I like about Pathfinders is you made it yours, Rick, and that's what I really call creativity.
Well, you know what they say, when you, if you want to know the shortest distance to get somewhere, ask the one-legged guy. And I was in a bind, and you know, I needed to get this built.
Yeah.
And to me, the market had changed in Neken over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to go out and make a living. And the bottom line is the whole thing stemmed from, I just wanted to feed my family and make them proud of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was never written thinking anybody else would ever do it, but either me or my own team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you get a pure training program. That, I remember the things that you wrote, Dave, were for your team.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you don't love anybody that uses it, but they were a real world. They weren't a textbook, here's my theory on network marketing.
Right.
They were actually what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason people liked it is because it wasn't a professor writing his theory on economics. It was actually what we did.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's what Pathfinders was developed during your growth period. It wasn't, okay, we're a Royal Diamond, now let's tell everybody.
My memoirs.
Yeah, exactly. Very well put, but it was the nuts and bolts, not just of what people should be doing, but nuts and bolts of what you were doing to build it.
Yeah, and it was odd, because I got to tell you, it still blows me away that it spread like it did. And I, you know, it's an honor anytime somebody else, I was watching the Academy Awards last night, and one of the actors said, you know, it just means a lot to me that anybody would care to come see a movie that I do. And it's just, it's a big responsibility, and it's an honor to know that somebody else's life's been impacted by it. This is an amazing company, and I'll tell you, it deserves an amazing field force.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any, sometimes it's hard for us to really get an appreciation because we're in it,
mm-hmm.
of how amazing this is. But I want you guys to think about your life if you didn't have this. And I want you to think about, okay, maybe I'm having a hard time in Neken today. Well, okay, let's say you don't have Neken. Or let's say you're in it and you're struggling and thinking, gee whiz, it's hard. Well, remove it from your life. You have an opportunity to change lives, make unlimited income, and do something amazing. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever just stop and appreciate that you even have this chance that other people that don't even know about it are praying for?
You know, if Steve B would not have continued the perseverance and the persistence on us, which was 16 years ago, I'm not sure that we would have ever heard of it, because we probably would have dismissed it. And so few people know about it. I don't know of another person who would have shared it with us.
Right, and you were, you know, the thing that you guys are looking at, and so many of you appreciate this so deeply, so I'm certainly not saying anybody in particular. I'm just saying, take a minute. There's never a time when I just don't sit back and say, man, I'm so happy I get to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had times in my life when, you know, I would have, if you would have told me I could do this for a living, something that makes this much of a difference and is this neat, and you can make this kind of a living, I'd have told you you're out of your mind 20 years ago. Because
mm-hmm.
sometimes it almost sounds too good to be true, but that doesn't mean it's not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not a couple of diamonds talking at you guys, or Royal Diamonds, should I say. I'm working on getting Royal Diamonds done. Mm-hmm. We're a couple people that are just like you, that were starting out just like you at one point of our lives,
mm-hmm.
and this is where the journey's taken us. It's not, hey, you know, we're these big shot diamonds. It's here's this thing that changed our life, and you almost feel a compelling need to share it with other people, because otherwise I almost feel like I'm not doing it a service.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does, absolutely. Rick, you mentioned Terry earlier.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are two peas in a pod. obviously, you trained him. He came up underneath your tutelage in this business, and then was given the Wellness Consultant of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
How does that make you feel?
My biggest challenge I felt when I was going back to writing the program was I knew I could build it. I knew I could do a preview every week and have lots of people there. I felt like the sticking point was my people couldn't do what I could do.
Mm-hmm.
When I wrote the program, it was so my people could go out and succeed, because I don't feel good giving a preview unless I know what I'm telling them is true. And if I'm telling you can make X what amount of dollars in this, then it should be able to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When I wrote it, it was so my team could go and get that. And when it happened, now I remember Terry signing up in a 1,300 square foot house.
Mm-hmm.
Erin was never around. She worked all the time on the road.
Mm-hmm.
It took Terry 7 months to go silver, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove up here every week for 7 months. I drove every week for almost 2 years.
Now, how far was that?
About 120 miles.
Every week?
Yeah, every week for 2 years. And he never one time in 2 years didn't have a prospect there.
Wow.
That's why he's Distributor of the Year.
Wow.
Not one time, Dave. Terry knew that right away. If Rick's coming up here anyway, I'm going to... And he'll tell you this next week when he's on your call. Or whenever he... Or he just did it a couple weeks ago. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
He just did it. Now, and that was the big part of his training for him to get you in front of a prospect.
He wanted to bury me.
And he just watched what you did.
He did. And then, see, the way we worked, we bought... And then I moved to Austin 4 years ago. He's a pure recruiting machine.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the back of the house covered. He fed the machine. I worked the machine.
Yeah.
It was a perfect mix. And then that plants at a consultant of the year deeper in your group because that's where the generation of new people's coming. I'm working the back side of the house. I've got a couple more that'll be coming out of the pipeline over the next couple of years. And Terry will tell you this. We got people in his group that'll make both of us look like we don't know what we're doing.
Must make you feel good to know that it's duplicatable.
Well, it is, and what's more is it doesn't cost them anything. There's not, you know, it doesn't drain their budget. It's 24/7. It's available. It's not a training program either that takes on its own life, and next thing you got memberships and all this stuff.
Sure.
And then I'm saying, hey, Dave, your people need to join. It's free. It just sits there. They can use it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go out and make yourself a million a year, use it. If you want to dial into one thing, use it. It's a tool that people can use to build their dream as big as they want to build it. And that's, I just wanted to give people an even slate so they could be as powerful as they can be.
And as many tools within a toolbox. It's many, many tools. Rick, give us your website where people can go in and at least browse around and see what you got out there.
Sure. Are you talking about the program one or my personal one?
Whichever one where people can go in and check out your tools.
Pathfinders.biz, there's a tools page. And Dave, if you see some that I'm missing on there too, I would love your take on it because I know you know you'll see things that I don't have. Pathfinders.biz has a breakdown of what we're doing with the rhythm,
mm-hmm.
has a breakdown of all or a lot of the basic tools that we use.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically just all there. If anybody cares to check it out, you're more than welcome, and it'd be an honor to have you take a look.
Yeah.
And you guys out there listening too, let me tell you, you guys have one of the most powerful awesome Royal Diamonds around. I was listening to Dave before I even had a pin on my collar in this business, and being here with you is a pretty neat thing, my friend.
Yeah,
you're all mine.
I tell you, Rick. Now, you have an event coming up in the spring. Am I correct?
Yeah, we're going to do a summit down here in the spring. We didn't do it this year because we wanted the Rhythm and Niken to have its own space for a year.
Sure.
But we will do another big one in the spring, a couple thousand people, and have a ball and
Do you have a date set for that yet, Rick?
No, we're just getting ready to do it, and we don't want anything to get in front of the national convention dates yet. We're really being careful. So we're doing more local stuff this year, and then we'll come back on next year and work. If we would have left doing what we were doing, we were afraid that Niken, because, you know, last year Niken called, when are your summits? And I didn't feel good with them working around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to work around them.
Absolutely.
So next year we'll get back in.
Yeah. Well, that's
and it was hard, though.
It was hard. I know. I know that same feeling, Rick. But it's very big of you to be able to do that. But if people go to your website periodically, they will know what the meetings are and when the dates are.
Yes, sir. And it's always an honor to have any of your folks there. It's an awesome thing. And Dave, I got to tell you, I'm really looking forward to coming out to Virginia. And Martha's such a dear friend, and to have her invite Paige and I is a big deal. And we are very excited to come, let me tell you.
Absolutely. Well, we're looking forward to having you come.
Well, thank you.
What do you see the future of Niken to be?
Basically, Niken right now, we're the world's biggest and only viable total wellness company. It's a $1 trillion growth market. It's unlimited. Literally, it's the undiscovered country. There is no limit to how big this doggone thing can get. They're truly, to me, you know, Dave, I can tell you, I don't think we've even hit our hypergrowth phase. I honestly think right now that we don't even know how big Niken is going to get. I think there's never been a home business that can do what we're about to do. I'll just leave it to you like that. And I think Niken is limited only by how big everybody in this call chooses to make it. I think it has no ceiling. It only has a solid floor built on the five pillars of health.
When you think of the 6 billion people, that everyone, 6 billion people, has a need and can use our product, It's incredible. You know, you look at the Microsoft and the communication industry. Nikan in the wellness industry, to me, is as huge, if not more huge, than what Microsoft has ever been
in the world,
because you need electricity to do a lot of that stuff. You know, our products, most of them, you don't even need electricity. You know, you can take them to the Himalayas, and they'll sleep better.
Microsoft is selling computers to people that want computers.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I'm going to be in business, I'm looking to be in the water and air business. I think people tend to use that rather frequently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Our life depends on it, doesn't it?
I find it to be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't let you go. You mentioned Larry Profitt earlier. Just very briefly, Rick, share how exciting it is to have Larry Profitt on the scene with us at this point.
It's a healing thing for Nikan. It's mm-hmm. a great thing for Nikan. He is a link to our past, and which is an important thing to our future. Who we are means everything. Means everything. When a mm-hmm. culture loses who they are, they forget where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry coming back will gently be the voice on the breeze reminding us who we are, and Mr. Masuda's original dream that launched this thing, and helping us to always remember who we are,
mm-hmm.
will make us better when we are who we are going to be. That's the simplest way I can put it.
He helped train Mr. Masuda before there was a Nikan, didn't he?
Yes, and it was important to bring him back for many, many, many reasons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome to have him back. I always liked Larry a lot,
mm-hmm.
And I've got to tell you, he's the kind of fellow that will do things that will not directly be in the boardroom, but they will mean everything to the people out in the field.
Oh, this is such a heart business. And, you know, he epitomizes the heart of Nikan.
Yes, he most certainly does.
You know, I'm so thankful that this call has been taped this evening. You can go to growinginwellness.com. That's growinginwellness.com. And you will want to get a copy of this call, I'm sure, and pass it on to all your people. We will probably turn it into a recruiting tape from what I heard Rick share tonight. It was just awesome.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Dave.
Absolutely. Now, before I let you go, one last word of advice for us all.
Well, build it like, pray like it's up to God, and build it like it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And build it like if you don't, no one else is going to in your group. Mm-hmm. And then when you've got a great upline, it's just a bigger tailwind.
Mm-hmm.
And go out and have a good time with it. Don't take yourself too seriously and get all stressed out about it. You're giving people the gift of opportunity and freedom. Act like it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my simplest advice I can give you.
And like I heard you say earlier, Rick, instead of being a downline, start being an upline.
Yep, it pays better, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does. Rick,
well, thank you for having me, Dave.
Absolutely, and I can't thank you enough to take
time. Hey, you don't have to, man. You mean a lot to me. It was an honor just to be here.
Thank you, Rick, and
I really
appreciate it. Thanks for all of you for being on this call tonight. God bless you, and have a great week.